Excuse me. Welcome back, everyone. This is Jennifer. This is the James Bible Study, Dwelling Richly Bible Study. We're going through James. And today we're in James chapter 4, verses 4 through 6. This is day 3. And we are in week 6 of our summer study, Coffee Talk. Is it week 6 already? Yeah, week 6. My gosh, it's going fast. So glad that you're here. Podcast is on. Facebook is on. Zoom is ready to go. If anyone wants to Zoom with us, sorry, off to a little bit of a late start this morning. As you can see, I'm in a different location and I had to kind of get things set up. I wanted to be outside today. Yay. And I took Lucy on a walk. And because she gets to just go in and out as she pleases, you know, doggy doors and all that. But here I have to, you know, get her outside, find a good space. There's no grass around here. It's like mostly dirt and all that. So anyway, we're ready to get started. I've got my Bible and we got our lesson pages. If you're brand new to the study, you can download it on the La Mirada Christian Church website. The Women's Ministry page has a Bible study page in there. And then you just download the study, open it right up and join us that way. And then, of course, whether you're new or old at this study, say hi, say good morning, let us know that you're with us, send me a heart, and I love you right back also, although I have no way to send you a heart, I don't think, but anyway, I'm glad that you're here. Let's pray and get started. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for your word today, and just enjoying being out in a little more of nature today and smelling the beautiful trees around me and hearing the birds, seeing squirrels. I'm just reminded of the vast variety of your nature and everything you've created for us. So thank you for that and my chance to be in this new setting today. Thank you for what we're going to be learning today and how we're growing in you. We just continue to ask your blessing on this Bible study as women seek to love you, to serve you, to understand your word better. Give us time and energy, wisdom that we need to really understand and get into your word. So we ask this now as we go to the Bible study, that you would bless our time right now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, get a cup of water here and get ready. All right, grab your Bibles, ladies. Let's do this. We're in James 4, 4 through 6. Let me go ahead and read for you out of the English Standard Version. James 4, 4 through 6. You adulterous people, good morning. Hello. It's quite a wake up call, right? You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you suppose it is to no purpose that the scripture says he yearns jealously over the spirit that he has made to dwell in us? But he gives more grace. Therefore, it says God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Amen. All right. Surely this does not apply to us. Surely. You lovely people listening to my voice and me could not be who James is talking about in terms of adulterous people. My goodness. Well, let's find out. James 4, 4 through 6, after praying for wisdom and understanding, then answer the following, or go pick up your dog who wants to say hi to everybody. Say hi. All right. On the podcast, I can't see. I'm holding Lucy in my lap. They can't see that I'm in a new setting. I'm in the middle of the mountains here. I've got a cabin. Lucy's checking it out. Now, Lucy's had her chance to go potty. And if she's telling me she needs to go potty again, guess what? She can wait. All right, here we go. Number one, ouch. What harsh word does James call the people? Write it down. Adulterers. He calls us adulterous. Write it down. Man, this table is wiggly jiggly here. Did that wiggle you guys? Yeah, it does. Anyway, why? Why does he call them adulterous? Well, let's find out. This will help us to understand if it applies to us or not. Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Why does he call them that? They're making friends with the world. Write that down. Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. I don't know how to make this more clear or to soften James, ease up on James' wording here, but there's just really no need to or reason for or way to do that. Friendship with the world is making an enemy of God, period. I think we're going to think and dig into that a little bit more in just a minute. Do you suppose there is no purpose to the scripture? He yearns jealousy over the spirit that he has made to dwell in us. So we've been given a spirit he's made to dwell into us, and he yearns for it. He's jealous for that. What we have in us, God is jealous for that. In the same way that a husband would be jealous over a wife who was spending time with another man, right? Enmity with God. And rightfully so. It's not, he's a jealous God. Why? He needs to get his emotions under control, you know, thinking of God. Not at all. This is why God, the Word of God, often refers to our relationship with him as a marriage. That's to help us to grasp the heaviness, the seriousness, the commitment that God has toward us and that we should be having toward God. All right. The imagery of adultery was written throughout the Old Testament as God cultivated relationship with his chosen people. A simple word study will bring up scores of verses that relate to this. God wants an exclusive relationship with his people. What is the essential nature of an act of adultery? So you can share your thoughts here on the podcast or on Facebook, but what is the essential nature of an act of adultery? Betrayal? Vow breaking? Right? What else? Okay, so we can break our vows, and obviously adultery can be more than just a sexual act. It can be emotional, not just physical, but anything that we give ourselves to that doesn't belong to us, that we shouldn't have, they don't belong to us and we don't belong to them, that's adultery. So James is saying, you belong to God. Don't have adultery with the world. Don't engage in that kind of relationship with the world. Your priority relationship is with God the Father, and he's calling us all out when we make friends with the world and have that type of relationship with the world, when it should be an exclusive relationship with the Father. Lying. Good. Good. So how then does adultery relate to the follower of Christ and how she behaves? So let's consider 2 Corinthians 11, chapter 11, verse 2. So let's go ahead and go back into there. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2. And this is from Paul writing to the church at Corinth, and in this passage that he's talking about false apostles. This lay down. She's got herself all knotted up on her leash. Poor little thing. Let me get her out. Come here, sweetie pie. Come here. Yeah, you got yourself a little bit tangled up here. Hop it up, you sit in my lap while everybody looks up. 2 Corinthians 11, 2. I'm just going to keep it right here. There you go. Okay. How do you do that? I don't think I could tie it in a knot like that if I tried. All right. Sorry about that, everyone. All right. For I feel a divine jealousy. There's that word again. For you, since I betrothed you to one husband, to present you as a pure virgin to Christ. So James is talking about his jealousy that he has for the church. Again, same terms here. And in Revelation 19, 7 through 9. So go to the end and read 7 through 9. Revelation 19, 7 through 9. Let us rejoice and exult and give him the glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. It was granted to her to clothe herself with fine linen, bright and pure, for the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints. So we have this imagery again of God seeing us as his bride, and that marriage of the Lamb coming together. She's like, seriously, it's like having a toddler, Lucy, on my lap. Like, won't let it go. All right. So, James 4:4. Let's go ahead and write that out in our own words. Go ahead and turn back after Revelation. Let's go ahead and turn back to James chapter 4, verse 4. Let's see if she can try it again down there without me. I guess I got all salty and she just can't stop licking me now. James 4:4, you adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. So take a moment and think about that in your own words. Use a dictionary, use a thesaurus to help you, and write those words out on your own. I'm going to give you a minute to do that. Where is my Bible study? A document I had called up over here. By the way, if you haven't gotten the email I sent out yesterday, let me know. Send out an email to everyone who's on the church's email list. If you haven't gotten that, email me, jennifer@lamoradachurch.com, and I'll make sure you get that email. I wrote an email out based on a message I gave last Monday and Tuesday on prayer, and just want to really encourage everybody to get into that and start rethinking your prayer life. Let's do that, right? Let's be those types of women who really pray with power and conviction. And I think we're going to see some big things. I'm already seeing some amazing responses just to that email itself. So let me make a quick change here. Sorry about that. Thank you for being patient with me, by the way. I'll fix something over here. I'm giving you time. You should be writing James 4:4 in your own words. All right. So I would love it. I'm cutting up really bad. I know. I can't do anything about that. You might check your own internet connection, because mine is, normally mine will tell me if I'm cutting up on my end. So it's probably yours. So double check it. And, if it's mine, there ain't nothing I can do about that. And if it's yours, I don't know if you can do anything about it either. So just take a time to think that through. All right. So, sorry about this, guys. Thank you for your patience. Back over here. All right. Get my document called up. All right. So in your own words, does anyone have one to share? Writing it down. Here's how I worded it. Or actually how I believe the Phillips translation worded it. You are like unfaithful wives, flirting with the glamour of this world and never realizing that to be the world's lover means becoming an enemy of God. That's from J.B. Phillips' translation. You can get that on Bible Gateway. He's got a great way of wording things. But after you write it in your own words, you can always just go back to his and see some other ways that he wrote it. So what happens when we make friends with the world in this sinful, ungodly sense? So I wanted to clarify that, because obviously all of us have friends. So it's not making friends with people that are in the world. It means making the world as it stands your friend. And so when we think of the world, we think of worldliness, the priorities of the world, everything the world is going through and offering, the epitome of life achievement that the world offers and sets up as this is what we should be going for. What happens when we make friends with the world in this sinful, ungodly sense? Well, we commit adultery with God. Those of you who have entered into a covenant relationship with God, that's how I want us to be thinking about our Christianity. Christianity is a belief system of following Christ. It means you're a follower of Christ, little Christian, or little Christ is what Christian even means. But becoming a Christian is way more than just saying I'm a Christian. In fact, a lot of Americans consider themselves Christians. A lot of people with conservative values who have a sense of believing in God and go to church on Easter and Christmas consider themselves Christians. But this is not what the Bible says, or as the commercial says for Verizon or whatever, one of those phone companies. That's not how this works. That's not how any of this works, right? And so James is making this distinction here and emphasizing that we are in a covenant relationship with God. Those of us who are married, we are in a covenant relationship with our spouse, right? So when we accepted Christ and said, I make him Lord of my life, I invite him to take over, to invite him into our heart in a sense, right? To believe on him, to confess with our mouth and all that. You enter into a covenant relationship because God enters into a covenant relationship with you. So when we're in that relationship, it's like a marriage. What happens when we make friends with the world then? Well, we betray that covenant. we are no longer honoring God in the way that we should, because we've put what the world wants and expects more. In the same way, if you broke your vows with your spouse, the spouse that you were cheating on would feel jealous, would feel angry, would feel betrayed. God is setting himself up and saying essentially the same thing. And James is asking us to consider the possibility that we have shifted our priorities and more so have committed adultery with God, with the world against God, breaking our vows there. So let's take a look at Exodus chapter 20, verse 5. So turn all the way back almost to the beginning of the beginning. Exodus chapter 20, verse 5. This should be a very familiar passage to you. If you haven't marked it in your Bible, I would encourage you to go back to Exodus 20. This is probably a passage that you memorized at some point in an abbreviated form, because it's the Ten Commandments, right? Does that look familiar? Well, let's take a look. Chapter 20, verse 5. You shall not bow down to serve them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me. I want to read verse 6 as well there. But showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commands. So, consider this verse in light of James 4 or 5. Explain God's desire toward us and expectations of us as his faithful children. In your own words, how serious does God take this? So the easy answer to that is very serious. But his level of seriousness is backed up with a consequence, and a very serious consequence. When you have entered into a covenant relationship with God, and that means me as someone who said, I am a Christ follower, I make him Lord of my life. I enter into that covenant relationship with him. When I do that, I break that covenant if I commit adultery with the world. Let's not mince words about that. Let's take that sin seriously, because God did as well. So in verse 5, he says, I'm the Lord your God. I'm a jealous God, visiting iniquity. That's the sin of the father on the children to the third and fourth generation. Now, we're not going to get into this too much in this devotional. So I want you, those of you who are red flagging that verse, the third and fourth generation, that's not fair. Those people didn't do anything wrong. Yeah, they did. He's implying here that they're still in the sin of their fathers. All right. So this isn't poor woe me. My dad committed sin, or my great grandpa committed sin, and God's still punishing me somehow for that sin. No, not if you're in a covenant relationship with God. And you have vowed and kept your vow with God. But yeah, don't break that vow. And yeah, if your great-grandfathers broke vows like that and did not make it right, then yeah, there's a consequence that could follow you. You might inherit some DNA, some behavior traits, some attitudes, and some things need to be adjusted. You might even need to go into therapy for it to deal with some of the sins that have residual effect on your heart. So this isn't God being a mean big bully in the sky. Because don't want to get too much into this, but just verse 6 reminds us that showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commands is the important reminder there, that God desires to love and to bless us. So write that out in your own words. How serious God takes it? Simple answer, very seriously. And he backs it up with a vow and a consequence. What does James say that God gives more of? Write that down. Grace. And to whom does God extend his grace? So let's take a look here. He gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the... Huh? Fill in the blank there. Say it out loud. Humble. Amen. To whom does God extend his grace? To the humble. Ladies, I think we've heard this word before in James, right? Is this something that you might be thinking... Did a fly just land on my lip gloss, for crying out loud? You get stuck on it. Anyway, who does God extend his grace? The humble. Do we need to go back to that and remind ourselves of that and ask the Father to please, please convict and reveal in my heart the tendencies I have to be prideful, right? Well, I'm leading a Bible study and I read the Bible every morning and I'm in God's Word and here I am. My goodness, that the propensity of my heart to be prideful in my own acts is massive. I'm constantly in prayer that God would keep me humble and remind me of his greatness and of my need for him. All right, so don't get proud. It's just like people say with in a marriage relationship, the people who don't think that they're going to be susceptible to having an affair are the ones who end up having an affair. Why? They're so prideful. Oh, it couldn't happen to me. I can handle it, right? Play with fire, you're going to get burned. Same thing goes with God. Let's be humble and let's constantly ask God for the grace that we need and the humility that we need and the humble making experiences, perhaps even to keep us in that position. So whom does God oppose then? Well, let's go back and look. Submit yourself. God opposes the proud. Sorry, jumped ahead on verses there. God opposes the proud, very simple, gives grace to the humble. How do you think James' focus on pride and humility relates to his earlier point about friendship with the world and enmity with God? We kind of already talked about that. I think anyone who thinks that they couldn't possibly end up in an adulterous affair with somebody other than God is fooling themselves. I would be fooling myself. And we need to be constantly in that state of acknowledging, I am, like Jeremiah says, a wretched sinner. I have a heart prone to evil, deceitful, wicked, unable for me to fathom or even understand it. And I need that grace. And I need constantly to be in a state of humility, acknowledging that my tendency, as the song says, that I am prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Take my heart now and seal it, right? Oof. Amen. By the way, Amy Grant does a great version of that song, so go find that on YouTube and poke the link in there. All right. Yeah, drop the link in there for me. And then, absolutely, thank you for joining and telling me you're here. I always appreciate that, whether you're listening on the podcast or on Facebook. So, all right. How do you think James' focus on pride relates to his earlier point about friendship with the world? Because we have a tendency to make friends with the world. You know why? We don't want anyone mad at us. That's why. We don't want to hurt people's feelings. I don't want people mad at me. I don't want people think I'm hurting their feelings or being one of those judgmental Christian type of things. And so we have a tendency to soften the blow and keep things easy and flowing. And while there's beauty in that, Isaiah prophesied that Christ would come gentle, that he would comfort his people, that he wouldn't be harsh enough to even break a reed of grass, it says in Isaiah about the prophecy of Christ coming. So yes, there's gentleness. Yes, there's meekness. Yes, there's kindness. But ladies, if we outweigh and we don't have that godly perspective and we're constantly trying to make nice with the world, then I submit to you, then you're committing adultery. Why? Because you're making friends with the world. Why? Because you want them to like you. You care more about how the world sees you than how God sees you. Ladies, God is your husband first. If you have been a committed marriage relationship, a covenant relationship with God the Father, right? If you have made that vow with him, that's like a marriage vow, binding for life. That's why God says he hates divorce, because it's constantly this picture of his relationship with us. He hates that. He doesn't want us divorcing him, right? He takes that so seriously. Then we need to watch our heart. We need to be aware of our mind. We need to be aware of our mouth and how we're engaging with the world. And if we're making nice with the world so that they'll like us, that we can like them into Christianity. We can nice them into Christianity. Ladies, stop trying to be the Holy Spirit. That is not up to you to draw them. That is God's role, to draw them to him. And he will do that. You pray that he will do that, but stop trying to nice people into the kingdom. Let's stop that, all right? Let's stop trying to be friends with the world and just focus on a relationship with God. I'm telling you right now, if that is your priority, when you wake up in the morning and you say, God, I love you, I'm so glad I'm married to you, and you kiss him and you love him and you praise him and you're in his word, right? Just like you would to your earthly spouse. You invest time in that marriage relationship. You protect it from anything that might want to come in, any woman that would come into your husband's life. You're like, uh-uh, all right? I'm an out woman, that woman. So my husband and I have that bonded relationship, right? Okay, I'm going to pray that we can keep that connected covenant relationship. Same thing goes, ladies, invest that time. Protect that time that you have with the Heavenly Father. Don't let anything get in the way. And any tendency that you see in your heart, especially with the ones that you love, those people who are in your family and your friends who aren't in that covenant relationship with the Lord yet, and you're worried about them and you don't want them to die without the Savior. Ladies, don't be the Holy Spirit. Let God take care of that. You don't be friends with the world. You let God draw them. You just pray to that end. And what are you going to be doing instead? You're going to spend time investing in your marriage relationship with the Father. You're going to be connecting and spending time in your covenant relationship with Him. And how do you do that? Through prayer. On your knees, standing up, worshiping, walking, in study, whatever it takes, constantly investing in that marriage relationship. All right, so extra credit. What Old Testament verse is James quoting in James chapter 4, verse 6? So let's take a look at 4:6. I know y'all want extra credit, right? We're all about the extra credit. So here we go, James 4, 6. But He gives more grace. Therefore, it says... So anytime you see that in the Bible, therefore it says, you should be like, therefore it says, like, where does it say that? God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble, end quote. So if it says that, where does it say now? If you're reading out of your good Bible, you should have some study notes in there, your reference notes at least. And if you'll go down to the bottom, you'll find that, you'll find it, and you will be able to tell me for extra credit where that is. Now, I can give you prizes through the interwebs. Sorry, ladies, I can't drop a little prize. That'd be super cool if you could do that. I cannot do that. But what I can do is give you a big fat kiss and say, good job, way to go. But write it down in your notes and then text it to me. My number is 562-755-4964, or email it to me, jennifer@lamorada.church. I'd love to hear from you. Share this video with your friends. Let other people know that you're growing in the Lord, that you're challenged by His Word, that you are in a covenant relationship with Him, and make that known. Just like you wouldn't ever, ever, ever even think about hiding your marriage with your spouse, with your husband, right? You invite people to that wedding. You want them to know. You walk downtown with Him on your arm, right? And those of you ladies who aren't married right now, praise God that you are totally devoted to Him. You have no other distractions. You know, even Paul said it's better for some people not to be married. And right, and in your Christian walk, if you aren't married, you just, your marriage is to the Father. You are in that covenant relationship exclusive with Him. You have nothing to distract you and no excuses for crying out loud either. So get in the Word, share the Word, let other people know you love the Word. Be bold. Be bold in public, on Facebook, Instagram, wherever you are. But be bold in your prayer life, ladies. Connect with Him. If you're in a covenant relationship with someone, you're talking to Him. You want to know about that covenant. You want to make sure that you're keeping up your end and you're growing and you understand Him better. Let's do that as women. Let's keep each other accountable for that as well. So as we wrap up today, prayerfully consider ways in which you are prone to get friendly with the world in a way that might be demonstrating pride in yourself and your ability to, quote, handle it. Ask God to reveal to you any areas in your life in which you need to be more humble and faithful to Him. And I'll just be honest. Let's just get real here, ladies. There is no way I would cheat on God. No way. I wouldn't. I wouldn't be like, look, I'm going to think about a way to cheat on God today. And any more than I would on my husband. I wouldn't be like, let me go out there and see if I can cheat on my husband today. Heck no, right? There's no way that's in my mindset. Then why do we do it? Because our hearts are prone to wander. It just happens. We don't sit there and connive ways to cheat on God. We don't connive ways to, I hope we're not conniving ways to cheating on our husbands, right? We're faithful. We're true. Why? Because we value that relationship. We made that vow. So because we know we're not out there intentionally finding ways to cheat on God, that means it happens just because of who we are. We're prone to wander. We're naturally drawn away. Ladies, we need that humility. I need that. I need to constantly be in the Word. You know why? Because without it, I'm prone to wander. I'm prone to leave the God I love. And in my own pride, I might say, this does not apply to me. I'm so glad we're reading this. I'm sure somebody out there needs this word of the Lord. Boom. Ladies, that is conviction to you, to me. Don't think like that. I need to make sure that I don't think highly of myself, that somehow I'm such a great, strong Christian that surely this wouldn't apply to me. I sin all the time, every day. That's me cheating on God. right? So our process of sanctification, of being made holy, is that process of growing closer and more steadfast in the vow that we have with Him. Can we close our time today right now in prayer and just ask that God would seal this on our hearts, that he would cause us to come to Him all the time, whether it's literally in the Word, holding a Bible in our hands, or if it's just as we go about our day, constantly feeling that sense of communication with Him. Let's close our time in prayer, and then we'll be wrapped up. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for the power of Your Spirit that convicts us. It helps us to see the reality of who we are. It helps us to understand that we are the ones who are prone to wander. We are the ones that need to be humbled, to be kept humble, so that we would not break our covenant vows. We thank You, Father, that You have given us this beautiful world to live in. That, Father, help us. Father, we pray, we ask that You would help guard our hearts and our minds so that we would not enter into a covenant relationship with this world, that we would not be friends with this world, that we would not be unequally yoked, trying to limp along with the world while we're trying to limp along with You. It doesn't work that way. God, help us to be more faithful to You. Draw to You women who want to be fully devoted to You. Let us be women who are willing to share Your word, Your gospel, proclaim it boldly. We ask Your hand of blessing now as we head on out to the rest of our day, whatever we're doing, that we would live mightily for You and in the power of Your name. We ask these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Don't forget to share the video, share the podcast if you're listening there. And I'm really glad that we could be in this time together. I will see you tomorrow morning, 7 a.m., bright and early, ready to go. For now, bye-bye. Oh, and this is also going to be up on YouTube in a little while. You can check that out also. For now, bye-bye.